Shalom, everyone. I'm Josiah Jeffrey.
I'm Hosea Jeffrey.
And we're back discussing the Torah portions. This week we're looking at the portion of Vayelech, which goes from Deuteronomy 31, 1 through 30. On some years, this portion is read along with the previous portion, Nitzavim. So be sure to check the pinned comment below to see if you should read both portions or just this one this week. We've already read the portion ahead of time, so if you'd like to read it as well, why don't you go ahead and pause the video and do that, and then we'll go ahead and get into discussing.
In Vayelech, Moses makes the final preparations for his death, commissioning Joshua to lead the people of Israel across the Jordan to the Promised Land, writing down the whole Torah and teaching the people of Israel a song as a witness against them for when they forsake the commands of God.
So this portion begins with Moses telling the people of Israel that he is about to die and Joshua is going to lead them across the Jordan to conquer the land of Canaan. Moses starts out by reiterating what we've read previously multiple times in the Torah, which is that God told Moses, you are not going to cross the Jordan River. You're going to die on this side of the river and not go to the Promised Land. And Moses says, even though I'm not going to cross over with you to conquer the land of Canaan, it is Adonai your God who will cross ahead of you. He will destroy the nations before you and you shall dispossess them. Joshua is the one who will cross ahead of you, just as Adonai has spoken. And then because of this, he continues, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them, for Adonai your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. And Moses says similar words of encouragement to Joshua, telling him specifically, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid. God will be with you. So this is a big concept in this portion and also all throughout the book of Joshua, which is be strong and courageous. Moses is telling them God is the one fighting with you and God is the one fighting for you on your behalf. So you don't need to be afraid. Just stand strong in the promises of God and be courageous. Don't fear.
So Moses is telling the people of Israel, I'm old. I can't go with you. The people of Israel have been trusting Moses' leadership. Well, actually, they've been rebelling against it. But they have been protected by Moses' leadership for the past 40 years. Through every challenge they faced, every enemy they had to battle, Moses was there to show them the right way. But now they're going to be left without his leadership. And so, naturally, they would be afraid. But this is Moses saying, I'm not the one who's been your strength all these years. God is the one who's been your strength all these years. And God is always with you. I am going to die. I cannot go with you. I'm going to leave you. But God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will always be with you. And then Moses is also saying specifically, trust Joshua because God is with Joshua. He also tells Joshua, God will not leave you or forsake you, Joshua. So specifically, even though Moses is going to be gone, God is going to be with Joshua. And so all the people of Israel should follow his lead. And God is not going to abandon them as long as they follow God and follow Joshua. And so at this point, God actually says to Moses, okay, it's about time for you to die. So I want you to bring Joshua with you and come to the tent of meeting. And there I'm going to talk with both of you. So here we have God with Moses and Joshua, the old leader and the new leader, one who is about to die and one who is about to begin his leadership. And so God begins by addressing Moses. And to Moses, he says, you're about to lie with your fathers. And when you do, the people are going to rise up and follow foreign gods and break my covenant. So God goes ahead and prophesies about Israel's faithlessness and about how he'll be angry with them and punish them and how many evils and troubles will come upon them. So this is something that Moses had already talked about in the previous portion. He was talking about how he knew that the people of Israel weren't going to listen to him, that they would undergo the curses of the Torah before finally turning to God and receiving the circumcision of the heart. But God is going ahead and saying it to Moses again, basically saying, your entire life's work, the people of Israel are going to reject it.
Ugh, that's got to be a depressing way to go.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And so on that note, God gives Moses one last instruction. He tells Moses to write a song. And he says, you're going to write this song and you're going to teach it to the people of Israel. And they and their children are going to remember it indefinitely. And this song is going to be a witness against them when they've forgotten God and turned aside to other gods, and they've broken the covenant, and they've undergone all sorts of trouble. This song is going to be a witness and confront them and say, hey, remember Moses? Remember God? Remember his covenant? And so hopefully, maybe that'll bring the people of Israel back. God says, for I know what they are inclined to do even today, before I have brought them into the land that I swore to give. So God knew from the get-go that the people of Israel are inclined to rebel against his will. But that's why he made the covenant at Moab that we talked about in the last portion, which promised the people of Israel turning to God and receiving the circumcision of the heart. And that's why he sent Yeshua, because he knew what people are like, he knew what Israel is like, and he sent Yeshua to free them from that. So Moses went ahead and wrote the song just as God said. And that song is actually recorded in the Torah. That is what we are going to be reading in the next portion. So we don't read about it yet, but he did write it here, and we're about to learn about it soon. And then God turns to Joshua, and to Joshua he gives words of encouragement. He says, be strong and courageous. I will be with you in the land that you're going to possess. So he gave Moses a pretty depressing truth, but to Joshua he's giving encouragement. He's telling him that there is hope. The sayings that God said to Moses about the people's rebellion won't actually come to pass until after Joshua's generation. So in Joshua's day, the people of Israel do remain faithful to God, and they do receive God's blessings and take the land, and God fights for them as they go against the Canaanites.
Now, this portion also says that right here, as Moses is commissioning Joshua and getting to the very end of his life, it says that Moses writes down the entire Torah. He's spoken all of these commands to the people of Israel, but now he's writing them down for the people of Israel just to make sure that they'll never forget it, and also so that it'll be passed down to the future generations. And then it says, so Moses wrote this Torah and gave it to the priests, the sons of Levi who carried the Ark of the Covenant of Adonai, and to all the elders of Israel. Then Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, at the time of remission of debts, at the Feast of Sukkot, when all Israel comes to appear before Adonai your God at the place which he will choose, you shall read this Torah in front of all Israel in their hearing. So Moses is giving the book of the Torah to the Kohanim, the priests, and to the elders of Israel, and then telling them every 7 years, all of Israel needs to hear this Torah. During the Shabbat year, the year for the release of debts, during the Feast of Sukkot, when everyone is supposed to go up to the place where Adonai chooses, which, as we've talked about before, that's Jerusalem, they're all supposed to come and they're supposed to hear the Torah, everybody. And Moses specifies, it's all the men, it's all their wives, it's all of their children, and it's even the sojourners who live with Israel. All of them, everybody needs to hear the Torah every 7 years. And he specifically says, their children who have not known will hear and learn to fear Adonai your God as long as you live on the land which you are about to cross the Jordan to possess. So this is a very practical, tangible way for the coming generations to hear about God and to learn to fear God for themselves. They're going to have personal interaction with the Torah, and that's guaranteed to happen every single 7 years as long as the people of Israel corporately are actually doing what God says and reading the Torah when they're supposed to.
One thing that this shows is just how important it is to have repeated contact with the scriptures. The people of Israel need to keep knowing the Torah, keep hearing it every 7 years, so that they're familiar with it, and so that their children can understand. This goes all the way back to what we talked about several portions ago when we were talking about how the people of Israel need to teach the commands to their children all the time, no matter what they're doing. Moses is prescribing a very practical way to expose all the children of Israel to the entire Torah repeatedly. This repeated contact makes being familiar with scriptures and knowing the scriptures a habit and a part of their lives. And if they do that, then they will learn the fear of God, and it will be much better for them because they won't be forsaking God, and instead they'll be faithful to him and receive the blessings.
And I think that this is also a good example for all of us, which is that the people of Israel, they were hearing the Torah itself. They weren't hearing teachings about Torah. They weren't hearing Torah discussions from two Messianic Jewish brothers. They were actually hearing the Torah itself every 7 years. And so for all of us, we need to be familiar with the scriptures ourselves. Not teachings about the scriptures themselves. Teachings are good, and in fact, there are records of the priests helping the people of Israel to understand the Torah as it was read. But they still need to hear the Torah itself. Not with a middleman, not with anything else, just the Torah itself, the scriptures themselves. If we aren't familiar with the scriptures themselves, then we won't know what's right or wrong. We've seen before, and we'll see later in scripture, that the priests and the elders stray from God. Quite a bit, actually. And so you won't know if they're teaching you what's right or wrong if you aren't familiar with the Torah itself. So we should all seek to know God's word for ourselves, not just through teachers and their own interpretations, but be familiar with the scriptures. And then this portion finishes with Moses saying to the Levites and the priests, all right, take this Torah that I've written, I'm giving it to you. Now take it and put it next to the Ark of the Covenant. And he says that they're supposed to do this so that the Torah will be a witness against them. Because as God just said to Moses, the people of Israel are going to stray from the Torah. They're going to go their own ways. They're going to go after foreign gods. They're going to go into evil. And they're going to end up with the curses and judgment of the Torah. Moses says, even as I've been alive, you guys have been rebellious. So after I die, you're going to be even more rebellious. But these words in the Torah will be a witness against you. And you're going to have this copy of the Torah. It's going to be next to the Ark of the Covenant. It'll always be there, standing as a witness. God won't just count Torah violations against the people of Israel, even though they don't have access to the Torah or something like that. As we read in a previous portion, they're going to write the entire Torah on a big monument, on big stones, in clearly legible letters so anyone can read it. And they're putting a Torah scroll next to the Ark of the Covenant such that it'll always be there for the priests to see and for them to read to the people of Israel. So the people of Israel will have no excuse for going against Torah. They can't say, well, we just didn't know, because if they don't know, then that's on them. The Torah will always be there as a witness against them. And in the same way, the scriptures are a witness to all of us when we sin. God has already written down what he expects of us. And so if we go against that, that's not on God, that is on us. And scriptures are a witness.
Now, this concept of the book of the Torah that Moses wrote down to be a witness for the people of Israel when they go into rebellion and sin, this is actually something that we see later in the scriptures. After the people of Israel do reject God and go astray after other gods and abandon the Torah, and centuries of sin and rebellion pass. The people of Israel had been so faithless to God that they had set up idols everywhere, even in the temple of God. Mm. The Torah was nowhere to be found. But finally, there was one righteous king who decided that he wanted to seek God. His name was King Josiah.
Hey.
Josiah was seeking God, but the Torah was unknown. That is, until Josiah sent repairmen to restore the temple so that they could serve him in that temple again. And then it says, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the Torah of Adonai, given through Moses. Then Hilkiah brought the book to the king, and he said, I have found the book of the Torah in the house of Adonai. And when the king heard the words of the Torah, he tore his clothes. Mm. And he said, go, inquire of Adonai for me and for those who are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that has been found. For great is the wrath of Adonai that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of Adonai to do according to all that is written in this book. So that very book that Moses wrote and told the priests, put the Torah in the house of God to be a witness, centuries later, the people of Israel found the Torah in the house of God, and that very book that they found was a witness against them. And when they heard it, they immediately knew, oh boy, we have sinned. Our fathers have sinned. We abandoned the word of God, and God is so angry with us because we did not obey what was in this book. And so God said, the people of Israel have forsaken God and will continue to do so at a future time. And so God is indeed going to punish all their wickedness and fulfill all the curses that are written in the Torah. Yet, because Josiah heard the words and he humbled himself, He listened to the witness and he followed it. God postponed the disaster. He said, Josiah, in your days there will be peace. There will not be destruction. And so King Josiah gathered all the people of Israel, and just like Moses described, he read the book in all their hearing. And they all heard the words of the book of the covenant of the Torah, and Josiah made all the people enter into that covenant and obey that covenant all his days. So in Josiah's time, the people of Israel, because of the witness of the Torah that Moses wrote, they reformed. They turned to God, they heard the witness, and they returned to the covenant. And so disaster was averted, at least for their time. And so this shows exactly what Moses' goal was to write this Torah as a witness so that the people of Israel might hear and be saved. And like we've talked about before, the Torah of Moses also points to Yeshua because Moses wrote about Yeshua. Mm. So, and it's standing there as a witness to the people so that the people of Israel might hear and repent and be saved. It is pointing to Yeshua. It is a witness against the people of Israel when they abandon Yeshua. And it's a witness that they're supposed to hear and be like, oh no, we didn't listen to the words of God. We didn't listen to the words of Moses. We didn't listen to the words of the covenant, which we're talking about Yeshua this whole time. And that is supposed to spark repentance and return to Messiah so that they will be saved. So I think the big takeaway in this portion is be strong and courageous in obeying God. As Moses instructed the people of Israel, they just needed to be strong and courageous, and God would be with them and would fight for them, so they didn't need to fear. And yet, God said that when the people of Israel forsake his ways, then he will turn from them and he will show them his anger, and they will not receive the blessings. So the people of Israel can be confident that God is with them and God is fighting for them. They can be courageous if God is with them. But that's only if they're following him. Being strong and courageous is not just being strong and courageous in whatever we want to do. It's being strong and courageous in obeying God's will, doing what God tells us to do and what God commissions us to do. If God says that we need to do it, then we know that we can do it. Mm. And yet, if we don't do it, then his word witnesses against us. So we need to let the witness of God's word provoke us into obeying him and trusting in him. And if we are obeying in him, then that gives us all the more confidence in the knowledge that whatever we set our hand to do, we will have strength if God is with us. So don't lose heart when it comes to following God's word. Trust in him, have courage, be bold when it comes to doing what God wants, because he will strengthen you and he will be with you.
That wraps up the portion of Vayelech. Next week, we'll be looking at the portion of Ha'azinu, so be sure to tune in for that. Thanks so much for watching. Be sure to like, share, comment, subscribe, and hit the notification bell to keep updated on new videos. And if you would, please consider sending us a donation to help us make more videos like these. We would really appreciate it. Thanks again for watching, and we'll see you next week. God bless.